there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Word to your mother.
And here we go, ladies and gentlemen. It's another episode of your favorite podcast, Two Cool Moms, starring Joe Gatto and
Steve Byrne.
Thank you so much for joining us. And now let's get into solving some problems.
All right. Well, I just want to let you know we got a little traffic on the 95. Head north. You're going to be bound up. There's a little accident out there. He's going to
cause you 10 minutes. Don't forget it's tornado season. Make sure you bring yourself some galoshes. What do tornadoes and galoshes have to do with each other? I'm an idiot.
Good to see you.
Stevie, it's great to see you. And
the blue looks good on you.
You know what? Makes
the eyes pop.
Yeah, makes them pop. So
yeah, you got some.
If you're not watching on our YouTube channel right now, you're really missing out because I got a turquoise shirt on from Psycho Bunny, one of my fave brands because it fits the fat guy barrel very nicely and has a little
fat
bit of flavor.
Fat guy barrel,
The FGB. You don't have to deal with that. You're skinny.
Well.
Somebody got in shape. Somebody loved to post their jump rope videos. I want to talk about that for a minute. Let's jump
ahead.
That
go ahead. Okay. Let's
do it. Let the world know he's getting in shape, you know, filming my special. I'm out here hoofing it. You know you just ate a full pizza and then you just jumped four times for the reel and then you went back to bed.
You mother, you son of a.
It's true. You look great, though.
You piece of.
Look at this. It's so nice. You can actually see your jaw. Yeah. I was going to literally say that. You could see like bone. It's so fun because you look like, sometimes you look like a vinyl. You get around.
Well, nothing was worse than the time that Q called me slimy.
Oh, my goodness. A couple episodes back, we actually posted from our pilot. It was November in 2021, and you were rotund. You were faced with, you looked completely different. So did
really?
I. But I was, you were way bigger than you were. I think it was during the holiday season.
Yeah.
So you packed on a couple LBs.
That was bad.
But then I looked at you like, it was funny because like I have all, on our YouTube channel, you have all these screenshots of the, what he calls, all right? I couldn't do it to you. Watch, I couldn't do it to you, okay? I normally just take a grab from the show. I normally take a screen grab because I do all the editing.
Oh, you put me in the suit.
I put you in the suit because
I was wondering why that was. I took
the grab, it wasn't a good grab. I'm a real friend. You're welcome, I'm a real friend.
Oof. I look bad, huh?
Oh, it was bad. I didn't look great either, but it was for you, it wasn't your best look.
I'm going to tell you something. When somebody tells you you look slimy, okay.
Who told you you look slimy?
Q told me I look slimy once. He goes, oh, yeah, you look slimy. I go, slimy? Look, when somebody says you look tired, guess what? You get a little sleep. Mm-hmm. When somebody says you're putting on a few, guess what? You do some laps. When somebody tells you you look slimy, you fucking kill yourself. Like, there's no, like, in the spectrum of, like, oh, you're letting yourself go. Slimy? Mm-hmm. I was like, that's a turning point.
I got one at the airport today, which was interesting. A woman comes up to me in a very flirtatious manner. A lady, she comes up to me and she goes, I'll tell you what, the cameras don't do you justice. And then she slowly retracted and walked away.
That's
and
nice.
I went, but is it though? So what do I look like on television? It's like that, what we always get, you know, you're not as fat as you are on TV. I get that.
What's the one you get all the time?
You don't look as fat as you are on TV. You're not as fat as you are on TV. Accusatory. Yeah. It's all about the tone.
You're
not as fat. Like I'm a farce. Like I put on a fat suit and start running around screaming Larry to make ends meet. Like, no, that's not what happened. I didn't deflate myself.
I always get, you're a lot taller in person.
Oh, yeah. I get the shorter, too. I think my personality makes people think I'm taller.
How tall
are you? Yeah, you're
6 foot?
Yeah, you're 6 foot. I'm 5'10".
You're right there. You're pretty tall.
It's close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go.
My dad was 6'4". My mom was 5 foot nothing.
So right
with there. My dad's and mother's kids, me and my sisters, it has skipped a generation because we all have very
your kids.
Large boys, one in each family.
Yeah.
So my sister has my nephew Anthony, who's 24 years old now. He's a monster. He's huge.
Right.
Then my sister, middle sister Carla, has the twins, Sophia and Vinny. But Vinny wasn't that big. But then came little Joey, the surprise baby, and he's like a mini Hulk. The kid's humongous. And then my son, Remo, is a monster, which we know we've spoken of.
Yeah.
He's a huge little gentleman.
Yeah.
But 5'10", my sisters are 5'2".
5'10", still
5'4".
Pretty good, though.
Yeah, it's not, you know,
6'4". You're in the range of a professional athlete's height.
Is that what they say?
You're anywhere from 5'10 to like 6'2".
Oh, yeah.
That's the range.
I'm just lacking what they call the talent. I have the range. I just have the skill set.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. Any professional sport you could play definitely would be hockey, right? That's what you play professionally?
100%. I play hockey. Yeah. But
a competitive hockey player.
I love the sport ice hockey. There's nothing better than like hitting fresh ice and you're the first one on and you hear your blades cutting and you hear that. Like, I always love that sound. And then You literally feel like you're flying.
Yeah.
When you're just you just coast and you hit that bend in the corner, I fucking love it. You feel like you're sailing. And then the other thing I will tell you feels phenomenal is, you ever play home run derby?
Home run derby?
Yeah. Yeah. The greatest feeling is to just yoke one out of the park and you just see it sail.
Yeah.
And you're just like, wow, I did that. That's so fucking cool. That's why I understand the bat flips and everything, especially in a huge moment in a ball game.
That's great.
I think that is the wear and tear of a professional baseball player is certainly less than a lot of other sports.
I played Little League and stuff growing up. I played basketball. That's probably one of the ones I was most competitive in. I'm definitely most competitive in volleyball and basketball.
Yeah.
But I was volleyball and bowling. But I will say, I played basketball. And my mom, I used to play for St. Albert's, which was my thing. I'm in eighth grade at St. Albert's. And I was sixth man in when Frankie DeFrancesco basically was going to fail out. Francesco DeFrancesco was going to fail out in the fourth quarter. Your boy Joe laced up tight and came in and played the game. Okay, my uncle Freddie Locasto was the coach. So here I come. And it's the fourth quarter. Here goes Frankie. Boom. You're out. Here comes Joe Gatto, laces him up. I wasn't very good, but I was good enough to be sixth. I come in, I was Frankie's replacement, okay? And we're down. My mom and my mother and father came to every game, always every basketball game. They missed this one because enough is enough. They're disappointed. I don't have skill. It's fine. My sister had one game and my other sister had another game. They had to be at their games. They picked their games over mine. And I actually won the game.
No.
I got the winning. Awesome. But it was so weird because I was the last. It wasn't like a buzzer beater.
Yeah.
I scored like 2 minutes earlier and then nobody scored for 2 minutes. So I ended up winning. So when we won, everybody picked me up and I'm like, why? I'm like, oh, I got the last basket. And they had me up on their shoulders and everybody's going nuts or whatever. And then my mom came to pick me up. As soon as she walked into the thing, she saw me up on people's shoulders.
No way.
And everybody going to say, like, just put me down. And I turned and I saw my mother and she was just standing there with like her handbag and like her keys in her hand. And she was like welled up and just felt like the shittiest parent that she just missed that moment, right?
And but she saw you being celebrated.
Well, at the end of it, she caught the tail end. And she didn't know why. Mm-hmm. And then I remember she was like, I'm so sorry. And she's profusely, and I didn't think it was a big deal. Mm-hmm. Now as a parent, I can't imagine how shitty that must have been to walk into the gym to your son, who's an underachiever at best at any sport he's ever played, you know, average at best, right? So I would just to walk in and see that moment. I literally got put down and just to see that had to be so heartbreaking.
Yeah. As a kid, you think, you know, I wish you could have seen it, but I was with all my friends. Right, but as a parent,
you're getting celebrated. You're in the moment, but your parent, they're missing a big moment, what they feel will be a core memory for their child.
Yeah. I still got to go bowling with you.
Dude, let's do it. What do you do tomorrow? You want to go bowling? Yeah, you're busy. Next week? Do your kids like to bowl?
They do enjoy bowling. Yeah.
They do?
They like bumper bowling.
Oh, they do the bumpers. That's right.
Yeah. They still do the bumpers.
Yeah, my kids love them.
But the thing that sucks about when you go public bowling is you're competing against 50 other people trying to get a comfortable 8-pound ball.
Well, if you're in the 8-pound area, then that's your first mistake.
Well, it's
men of your stature should be using 14 to 16 pounds.
Get out of town.
1,000%.
No way.
How many strikes do you get?
See, here's the thing. When I take a ball, though,
it's not about speed.
I'm not doing the kick your leg out and doing boomerang. I'm going straight down the pike,
right,
like Superman 3, at you.
Right.
That's it. I'm yawking it.
But an 8-pound ball that's just bouncing off the pins, buddy. You need some wrecking ball action to come through. There's a reason why a wrecking ball is so heavy, right? You're not putting an 8-pound wrecking ball on there.
But I'm gonna get Tommy John the way I go. I wind up and I chuck it.
Do you not hit the wood to like halfway down the aisle, or you want to? Down
I try
the
to go
alley?
Center right there.
Right, but when does the ball hit? Does it hit? Are you like airborne for a bit?
No, I'm not
airborne.
Oh,
you slide. Okay, great.
Yeah,
I'll take you bowling.
I'm not like going to chuck it and put a dent in the...
My brother-in-law, Vinny, 6'4", 280 pounds. But it doesn't even hit the ground, and he gets a strike every time. He throws a 16-pound ball. It hits the pins directly. He doesn't even hit the alley. It's amazing. Yeah, it's crazy. I love good bowling. I was always enjoyed bowling, and I never... You know, it's because I grew up around it. My parents were bowlers. Yeah. I always had good memories around the bowling alley. I think it was like a Staten Island. Well, it's not a Staten Island. It's more like a suburban thing.
Yeah.
You know, the alleys being stuff. But I always wanted at this point, and I don't know if I'll be able to do it now, but I wanted to join an adult bowling league.
I would do it in a heartbeat.
I would love to. We don't live in the same city,
though.
Nobody
does them
anymore. Are we going to commute to each other? I don't know. There's a lot of logistics involved with you and I.
Well, you could live here for 3 months in the summer. You could live anywhere you want.
Hey, Beth, watch the kids for 3 months. I'll be back. Yeah. I joined this bowling league. It's Thursdays. Yeah, I'll be back. Thursdays.
You could do it.
I would love.
Well, they could come.
You'd be a great bowling partner, I think.
I'd be
our dream bowling team. Ready? Our dream bowling team. Me, you, two more.
Oh, two more?
Two more.
Vince Vaughn,
great.
Incredibly competitive.
Great. And I feel like he's been
bowling with him before, and he gets super competitive.
I feel that length is going to help him.
He brings it out of you, too. And I had two strikes.
Mm-hmm.
Was going for the turkey. I was competing against him. I wanted to beat him so bad. Missed it. And then the final frame, hit two more on the third, went for the turkey and didn't get it. So I came, that was the only time I came super close in twice in one game to getting a turkey.
You chickened him, you didn't turkey him. Damn it.
Who would be the fourth then?
For the fourth for us?
Yeah. I mentioned our third, you bring
him. Do you want to go for, if it depends, well, you went with skill. Well, he's also fun. I was going to say fun versus skill, but he's fun.
No, he is there to win.
He's there.
There's no fun.
He's going to go there.
The fun is in winning.
Yeah. Gary Cannon seems like he'd be a good bowler or a good time on the lanes.
Here's the thing. If we brought Cannon in, he'd be a total goof. We'd laugh the whole time.
Right.
But then Vince would be like, we're being serious.
Focus up.
We're being serious now. Yeah, we got to win.
Mm. Yeah.
So Gary would be, you know who'd be a good one? Billy Gardell.
Oh, Billy. Yeah. Billy would
be
good.
I could see him.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. I could see he's got a bowler's body. I feel like he would command the lanes.
Yeah.
I like that.
He ran the bowling alley in the Four Seasons movie that Clint Eastwood directed.
Really?
You remember when Frankie Valli performs at a bowling alley? Gardell was the owner of the bowling alley.
Jersey Boys.
That's
really?
It. Yeah, in the film. He was in it for like 5 minutes.
Holy cow, now that you say it. Yeah. I didn't realize.
Great movie.
Oh, man. A doo-wop group. Now, that would be a fun time. Doo-wop doesn't happen anymore.
Who would be in our duo group?
Oh, if it was me and you in a doo-wop group?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's me, you, Sal Volcano.
Oh,
for sure. Sal's got this, because this is what I always made fun of Sal for, okay? Sal would always say to me, he would sing, like, there'd be a song playing, whatever. I'm like, oh, this song is good, or whatever. He'd, like, play, because he has an eclectic taste in music, or whatever. And I go, oh, this song's good. And he'd go, you don't know this? Like, indignant. And I'd be like, no, Sal, I don't know. He's like, it's Bonnie Bonbon and the Bonettes. Like, you don't know them? He's like, it's from like 1938. Like, he would just say all this stuff. He's like, you don't know the Curtails? Like, he'd get like mad at me. And I'm like, dude, I was like, I
remember when
that's why you guys click, because you're both with music, right?
Love music. Yeah. And I loved when we were at his wedding. I think we could talk about it, right?
Yeah.
Can we talk?
Yeah.
We were all in this, like, basically summer camp. In these cabins, and there were speakers piping music the whole time, and I loved it because I have music on in my house all the time, and there were at least 50 songs I Shazammed.
Yeah,
over the course
the
of the weekend,
skills are great. Yeah,
he's unbelievable.
I remember
one of my
favorite memories of me and the boys. We were in a casino, we were at the Seminole Hard Rock down in Florida, and I'm a gambler, and they enjoy when I come and gamble. So they said, Joe, we could give you the room in the back if you don't mind. I said, okay. I said, we could come. I said, but is it private? I need privacy because the boys want to come out for one. They kind of didn't really like to be out and about, but they were in the mood too. I was like, the boys are going to come out and we need a private room in the back.
Yeah.
The room had frosted glass that closed, like that you shut the door and it like seamed up. So it was great. In the back, there's two tables.
Yeah.
They gave us a private room with two tables and we're there and the guy goes, what do you need? I said, I need a Bluetooth speaker that can be controlled by Sal. I said, I need a bar in here. I don't need a waitress going to get drinks. I need a couple bottles of whiskey back here. Then somebody making drinks for them. I need a dessert tray. And they brought in like a dessert on wheels thing. And then Sal had control of the Bluetooth speaker. And he was singing and dancing with it. Me, Murr, and a bunch of friends were there. We were all in the back having a blast, gambling and whatnot, playing blackjack. And I was eating cannolis, splitting aces. Like, it was a whole thing. It was so fun. Yeah, we had a really, really great time. And we all went out. And Sal was always like, we got to go. We got to do that again. I'm like, that doesn't always happen, buddy. Yeah, that just happened this time. But yeah, that was really fun. But Sal was killing it on that Bluetooth speaker, and he does the thing where he's like, "You ready? You ready for it?" Like he'll do that, like he presents it. I enjoy him. He's only second for me to DJ Justin Gerace. DJ Gerace Justin's great. He knows how to just really just navigate the waters. But he's like a different kind. He's like silent. And he just plays it. When he sees you react, he's like,
believe me, I thought about this. If I wasn't spending money on my own hour special, I would have hired Justin to come and do our after party. Because I rented at an Irish pub.
And why is he coming? I'll fly him out.
I'm sure he's got to have speakers and all that stuff, and I don't know how to situate that stuff. Like, he knows that world, right? And I just don't know what cables you need and stuff and all that stuff. So I was thinking, boy, if I
he's phenomenal, yeah.
He'd be the best. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm always on the cruises, too. He's great. He's great. Yeah. I wanted him to DJ my wedding. But then I was like, I want you to be at my wedding. Yeah. You want to be working? Do you want to hang with DJ? Yeah. Get into it. If I could DJ, I would love to be a DJ. Maybe in my next life, I'll come back as a DJ.
Sal would be a phenomenal DJ.
You know what's so funny?
DJ.
We started this episode speaking as DJs. Yeah. That you were calling. Yeah.
Here
that
we
weird?
Are.
That's weird. Okay.
Morning DJ, do you think if somebody said, okay, because this is the dilemma stand-up comics had for a while in like the 90s, where you're from Staten Island,
yep.
The station you listened to growing up, let's say they go, Joe, you know what? You could do anything you want. Would you like to be our morning guy? We'll give you six figures or whatever, and you do mornings from 6 to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, 48 weeks of the year. Would you do that? Would you take that gig?
I would enjoy it, for sure. Yeah. I think it would be fun. I mean, I grew up listening to Elvis Duran and the Z Morning Zoo, as it was back in the day.
Yeah.
But I won that contest where I got to go up there for a morning, and it was the biggest... It's still a highlight of my life. Yeah. It was so fun to be up there and be part of that mess, in a good way. I could see doing it. I think it'd be really fun, but I speak really fast.
Yeah.
I don't have a good voice.
You get
for
2 hours of show done and...
I do. I don't even know how you keep up. People listen and probably miss half the stuff I say. I always hate that. I always hate that. Even with stand-up, I always like when I say something really funny, it doesn't get a big hit, and I'm like, I said that too fast.
My favorite is just a little dumb tag. It's always the dumb tags that make me laugh in anybody's bits. But you go 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, rock. You know, rock around the clock. And I'm like, I don't know why it just makes me laugh. It's just a toss away.
It is. Yeah, I'd have to work on my speaking, but I would do it as a job. I would like. I'm not a morning person though. I'm a night owl.
I'm a horrible night owl.
Yeah, you're terrible. Oh, I travel. I tour with you.
The worst.
You're terrible.
Yeah, unless
you're atrocious.
Unless it's a flight.
I
never miss my flight.
You're the worst. Sorry.
Everything okay? Something you want to share with me?
I hate you. No. Yeah, that's true. You'll always make a flight. Yeah.
Always make a flight.
I missed my flight last week.
Oh, you did?
I slept through. I did an AM PM thing.
But I'm sure you have enough status that they bump you on the next one.
Well, no, I've slept through. I woke up at 7:30 for my 7 a.m. flight. Missed it. So I had to run there, and it all worked out. But it was, I did the first time in forever. Like, since I'm touring, I think I've only missed maybe, even back in the day, over the past 10 years, I think I've missed one flight maybe.
I've never missed a flight.
Wow, that's crazy.
But I remember missing one gig in Hartford, and I missed the early show. I was like grief stricken, like, oh my God, it's never happened. Like, I had my Iron Man streak.
Right.
And it happened, and it was the worst feeling. But also, like, you know, I was just like, I feel like I'm so pissed because now I don't get paid for that. And I was so angry
so many
about
things.
It. But there's nothing you can do about it, especially these days with travel. It's just
us, churches, yeah.
You just pray that you, connecting flight, just say a prayer. Because every airline, their logo should be, we'll see. Nobody cares.
There should be a little checkbox that says, you sure? We'll see.
Yeah. Maybe. Question mark.
Yeah, you'll make it.
Unbelievable. All right.
Let's get into solving some problems.
Let's get into this. Okay, here we go. The first one is coming to us from Chad.
All right, Chad, what do you got?
Love the podcast. Question, do you still have something from your childhood, toy, clothing, anything? I have a Wally Joyner glove from early, mid-80s. Cheers.
Oh, interesting. I still have my Winnie the Pooh from when I was 3 years old. My Winnie the Pooh is in my closet. I was going to give it to one of my children when I was like, oh, I'll pass this down, it'll be an heirloom. But then I was like, nah, This is mine. They'll get their own Winnie.
Oh, really?
And my kids each have one of their own things. That's their little stuffy. That's theirs.
Yeah.
You know, Milana's got her Lily, the unicorn, and Remo's got his little dinosaur called Diney. But I have my Winnie, and actually, when everything started falling apart for me, I actually slept with it not too long ago, and it's amazing how it takes you right back. And then I peed the bed.
You actually slept with your
Winnie?
Winnie
the Pooh. Slept with my Winnie the Pooh. Yeah, I ain't afraid to say it. Sometimes you know life stuff. You know you got to get in there, and do what you got to do. And Winnie was calling for me. I opened up my closet, and he was in the closet, like laying down. I was like, oh, I'll just sleep with you. It was my first. It was like one of my first weeks sleeping by myself in an apartment. Right, I was by myself. I just moved in. I'd never lived alone my whole life, and I was just like sitting there. And then I opened my closet, and it was Winnie. And I was like, oh, let me grab Winnie. And then I called you and I spoke to you as I pet Winnie's head. And I pretended that you and I were just hanging out. Yeah. Yeah, that was it.
And that's why last time I saw Winnie, I go, show me on you where Joe touched you.
My Winnie. Well, he's got a great booty on him.
Yeah.
He does. He's like, he hugs your back and he's got a little booty. I'll show him to you next time.
Yeah, okay.
I'll show him.
I should see where the dry humping in eighth grade occurred.
I never humped Winnie. I was all about pillows.
Yeah, I have a...
What do you have?
I have my Superman towel that I thought was the coolest towel in the world. It's a little tattered, but it's still there. A little, yeah. But I must have been like five or six or seven when I got it, and I thought it was the coolest towel. Wow. I never want to get rid of it, and my mom saved it for me and gave it to me recently. And then there was also a pillow my grandmother made me, where the border is half done because she didn't finish it. Yeah.
She's
give
dead.
Me the Winnie.
She's dead. Yeah,
give me the Winnie.
Now you want. Now who wants Winnie?
Want Winnie?
Now who wants Snuggles?
I want Winnie. But she had made it, and there was like this.
Did
lady
she die when she was making it? It's like she's like, oh.
She choked on it. Yeah, she choked on the pillow. But I have that. Those are the two things. And then,
was it a decorative pillow or one you slept with?
It was one I slept with.
Oh wow, really?
So I have that,
that's
and
great.
Those are things my mom saved and gave to me recently. But the one thing I have from my childhood that I held on to, again, going back to Superman, was my Superman Superpowers action figure that I'd gotten. This thing's banged to shit. It's like the S is faded.
Yes, everything's all
the cape's gone.
Like chipped
I bought
away.
It's all chipped up. But but I had it as a kid, and I still remember like the first time like getting it, opening it, and smelling the plastic, and looking at the back of the box, and seeing all the guides you could collect and everything. I just thought it was the coolest thing, and so I have it in my office with all these other new kind of things I found on eBay. So I definitely collect. Anybody that has been in my house knows I have like all the Star Wars 12-inch from the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you collect those from other people, though. That's not from your childhood. You're stealing other people's memories. It's collecting other people's toys, right?
But it's also buying like the things I always wanted as a kid. Because Mego was this popular toy company that made all like the cloth figures you could buy in grocery stores. Do you remember? You get Batman or Robin, and they were like the...
Yeah. That was Mego?
Yeah, that was Mego.
They did that? Wow.
So then Mego had this expensive line of like a Batman with a grappling hook, Spider-Man with his web, Hulk that shakes... Captain America with a shield that spins, and
really?
Superman. You put him on a string and he flies up.
Oh, that's cool.
It was all like battery operated. And as a kid, like I never was able to afford those ones because those were the pricey ones. And recently, I went down this rabbit hole and found them all and bought them.
Because now,
yeah, fuck yeah.
Now he's got it. Now he's got it. He's made
now
it.
Now the missus looks at it and goes, "Keep those in this room and never show them.
Never show them to anybody.
This is embarrassing."
Does Kent come in and play with all your toys? Or is
he
that
does,
daddy's
but
room?
He doesn't like.
Well,
he's
still a little young for that, right?
No, he's about to be seven.
Oh,
he likes his own things. He has like the Star Wars Black Series action figures, which are like these, you know, they're $25, but they're incredibly like articulated.
Yeah, you can
like
move.
Molded to the like little. All the characteristics are all there. It's unbelievable the specificity that all these figures have, and he's got a ton of them. Like I go out on the road and I see it, and I'm like, oh, he'd like this.
Yeah,
and I get him a new one, and then all of a sudden he brings them all out again and plays with them. So every month or 2 months, he has a new one to reinvigorate.
I'm trying to get my son into Hot Wheels. I got him a bunch of Hot Wheels for his birthday.
Oh,
I got the Hot Wheels case. And I was like, here's all the cars, and just take him out and play with them. Yeah. And I thought he was really going to like it, and he hasn't got to it, but he's my kind of kid that like will get to it eventually. Like he'll pull that out in like 3 months from now and be like, oh, what's this? And he'll just be obsessed with it for 6 months.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, that's the way it is.
Or you get the...
the ramp thing.
Oh, it's the best.
With a spin around.
I love that. The one loop, single loop. Oh, that's all you need. You only need one loop.
The best.
If it's more than that, it's obnoxious for me.
It gets
some of them get a little too, you know, hoity-toity, and it never gets toward the end. They did the one that was a wall climber. Remember that one?
Yeah, where
it, like, shot up and went and the whole thing and went over, and it went back and around.
How they knew exactly
the right time.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You had to get the right velocity, too. Yeah.
What was your go-to toy as a kid? What was the go-to?
For me, I did big in collectibles. I was like He-Man's, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, like those action figures.
They just reissued all the He-Man's.
Yeah, I liked all those. For the most part, that's really where I was. I was a little bit into radio control cars for a minute.
I had the Grasshopper.
The
Hornet. Do you remember those?
No, those are too fancy for me. I had like the Kmart.
Oh.
I had like the Kmart, I had like the Lamborghini. You know which one I do remember I had? I remember the car exactly. It was a white, non-specific, just a white little, it looked like maybe a Lamborghini, like a white little car, and it had like rainbow stripes on one side. It had like a red, yellow, and blue stripe on both sides. And I was like, it was the coolest thing because it went faster than all the kids' cars in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
And we had my dad just got a bonus at work, and we upgraded the gravel parking lot that we had where our driveway to the asphalt. And I was out because it was drying still, and they couldn't park cars on it, but it was my car could go on. And I had like an empty racetrack for like a day. I set up like ramps and stuff. It was so fun.
That's sick.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, we in Pittsburgh, when I lived there was a hobby store.
Yeah,
that I could ride my bike to, and they sold all the high-end like remote control cars. So I remember like mowing lawns, saving my money, and I bought the Grasshopper. I believe that's what it's called.
Yeah.
And then there was the Hornet, which was the next one up. And my neighbors got the Hornet, and I had the Grasshopper. And pre-pandemic, I went down a rabbit hole and started researching it, and they reissued all those.
No way.
So I got the Grasshopper, and my kids were I was like, look at how these things fucking zoom.
Shred,
they're so fast.
Shred, yeah.
And we were in this, you know, our neighborhood wasn't immensely populated. And these kids are just taking this thing and crashing and everything. I'm like, you know how expensive this is? I mean, just zing, crash.
Yeah.
But they were so good. And I just wish I had more time to like be in the garage and have the soldering gun and put it all together. I just, you know, just never home enough.
Yeah, I didn't do much building. I built one model. I remember I tried, and I was like, I just stopped. I begged my dad to buy me this plane model, model plane to do. And I got like to the third glue thing, it didn't stick, and I was like, I'm done with it. My father went off on me. He's like, you begged me to buy this stupid thing. It's like you're gonna finish it. And I finished it like I didn't care, and it ended up like a half a wing. It was terrible. And then he made me hang it in my room.
Did you finish it, though?
No, I finished it, but it wasn't good. And then he's like, now you hang it. He's like, you'd be proud of your work that you did. And I just looked at this terrible thing that I had to hung in my room for like 3 weeks.
You know what I did? This was my trick in college. During finals week, I would go out and I'd buy a model, like the Imperial Star Destroyer or whatever. And what I'd do is I would study. And then I'd be like, all right, let me take a 10-minute break. And I'd go take a 10-minute break.
And do it?
And I'd start putting it together. And by the end of finals week, I had like the Millennium Falcon done, Star Destroyer done.
I failed all my finals.
I failed all my finals, and I was high as hell because of all the glue sniffing I was doing.
But I had a finished Millennium Falcon and a C- in physics.
Yeah. It's great. Absolutely awful.
All right.
That was a fun one because it was, you know, you get to take a walk down the...
We like doing that on Two Cool Moms sometimes.
Here's the second part to Chad's question, which I thought was pretty fun. You're both comedic beings. Who are your faves growing up, and who do you love today? That's a good question.
I love Steve Byrne. I think he's hysterical.
You're too kind. Come on. Sure. Who'd you love growing up, and who do you love right now that you see that just...
Growing up, Richard Jenny was a big one for me. I always loved him. He made me laugh. Man. I love Jenny.
Platypus Man.
I loved him a lot. I also always loved... I mean, I was big into physical comedy, but I was big into movies. I mean, you know, I was really more movies than I was stand-up comedy growing up, for sure. I always loved Mel Brooks movies, you know, for sure. It was always him. I think Gene Wilder was always crushed for me. I always loved him, his big face. I think I get a lot from Gene. I kind of have very similar big nose, big eyes from him. Those are probably my big ones. But then as far as stand-up goes, Tim Allen. I remember watching, you know, his shows with my dad. We used to love that show, and we used to love his stand-up as well. Like, I remember me and my father just saying that to each other, like you said earlier, about, like, you know, about you and Kent when he used to say, I love you. That's how we used to say goodnight to each other, to each other. You know, those are probably big ones for me. And of course, and now as you grow older, you watch all the classics and you just get to watch. And I really got a big, you know, Rodney Dangerfield. It was like, I had really didn't really even know that much. You know, I kind of did, but like my parents won't let me watch a lot of stuff growing up. And then I like watch him and I was like, oh my God. And then you watch that and you watch, you know, Eddie Murphy, of course, like all that stuff. And you're like, oh, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to kill, just kill. But, you know, and Sebastian now for me too is very, I relate with Sebastian Maniscalco a lot, Italian, sure. You know, the whole thing. Yeah. So when you relate to people's content, I think that's big too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when I was younger, I loved, I think, there were so many of those HBO specials I remember growing up watching. I love Robert Schimmel. Dana Carvey might have had the biggest impact to me, where I was like, Chopping Broccoli.
Carvey's great.
Unbelievable. The Cat on the Piano bit that he did. Mm-hmm. It was so funny. I just loved Dana Carvey. And then years later, he was performing at the Irvine Improv, or the Brea Improv, and I was filming the opening act, and I walked next door to just like, do you think I could walk in and say hi or whatever? And the manager's like, yeah, come on, I'll introduce you. So I walk in. He goes, Steve Byrne. I go, oh my God. Like,
wow.
I was like, oh my God. I had a poster of the church lady in my room that I got at Spencer Gifts.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That I had hung up. And I thought Dana Carvey, to this day, is one of my favorite SNL cast members.
Yeah.
And the fact that he knew who I was, and then he was so gracious, and he was there with his two sons who were starting to perform, and we were all just kind of catching up and BSing, and I never want to overstay my welcome. So I was just like, look, I just want to tell you I'm a huge fan. I want to get out of here. I know you're preparing, but I still can't believe you know my name.
Yeah.
And that was one of the coolest things that's ever happened to me. Cool. So I love Dana Carvey.
Vince Vaughn is huge for me too. Growing up, I watched Made on the regular. His delivery of when he's in that limousine and he's just going off. It's unbelievable. And I got to talk to him about that not too long ago. I got to talk to him about that a couple of weeks, you know, about a month ago now.
Yeah.
About that scene and then what it was, and just to hear him and I just say the lines back to each other. I was like, it was amazing. But that used to just everything about that movie for me and him and the quick wit of his. I've always akin myself to have like a quick wit.
Yeah.
And just, you know, shot for shot to be able to do that stuff with him. And now that we actually hung out a couple times and laugh together. It's really fun to make you like a hero's laugh. So I can totally get that.
Yeah. He's one of the quickest human beings I've ever met in my life.
Who do you like to make laugh? Like, I love that. Like I said this before, I love making you and Sal Vocano my two favorite people in the world to make laugh. Yeah. But like, is there somebody that you love when you make them laugh? Like you just go for it. Like,
you know, what's funny is every time I'm with Sebastian, we just follow into this great pocket of like, he can make me genuinely laugh and I can genuinely make him, like, it just becomes a true tit for tat.
That's super cool.
Just because we have so much backstory and we know there's so many familiarities we have of like back in the day at the store.
Yep.
He's somebody I always genuinely like being around and goofing off with.
Yeah.
My wife, hearing her laugh is pretty awesome. Yeah, she's got a great laugh. But in terms of like comics I like nowadays, like I don't know, there's just so many. Every comic I see, there's somebody that does something. I'm like, my God, that's a brilliant bit. There was a comic I'd seen in New York, and he was talking about how girls are awful storytellers because they never use sound effects.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, name one girl that's ever gone like any of it, and he had this whole bit. And I was like, that's brilliant, right. And I can't remember who it is.
Yeah.
And it's one of the best bits I've seen.
Because you see content everywhere, but it's so good.
Everywhere,
there's so much.
So good. But I don't know. I mean, the world of stand-up, that's the great thing about it, is that there's always somebody around the corner that even if you don't like them, there's something that they'll say that I can still respect.
God. You don't have to like funny people. Yeah. They can still say something funny. You don't have to like them.
Yeah. There's a few of those that I have.
Yeah. I'm right here, Steve. Stop saying
I loved watching you when we were starting off together because I was originally coming out to like be there as a crutch to help and tag and punch up or whatever. That's really why, you know, we went out earlier on together. And then even that first weekend, I took that picture of you. I was like, you know, I sent it to you. And I was like, you just did it. Like, it's still amazing to me that someone without the background to go up for 45 minutes on their own, and now you're a true headliner.
Yeah.
It's absolutely mind-blowing that you just did it. So all the sports stuff and all that other stuff, it's just like you go up and you do that for 45 minutes and captivate a crowd. I believe it's one of the hardest things to do. And you just have a natural set of skills like Liam Neeson, and you just do it. It's fucking crazy.
When people's sense of humor get captured, they send me in to rescue them. If they need a giggle, that's what I'm here for, buddy.
Need a giggle, yeah.
Need a giggle. I'm here for giggles, man.
Do you honestly sit back though, and sometimes even catch yourself on stage or post show going, wow, I'm like I'm really doing this.
Well, I will say that I just recently I just played the UCF Arena, the University of Central Florida Arena, and it was a really cool moment for me. I have the arena, and I got invited to play their performance in their comedy night. It's when school starts.
Yeah.
And they're the Knights, so it's spelled with a K. Very cute. And I went, and we pulled up, and me and Jiggy pulled up in the Uber, and because I keep it reals, and we pulled up. And the line was wrapped around or whatever. Yeah. And they ended up holding, it's an 8,000 person arena. Yeah. And they ended up holding because they were trying to load people in. And they had to turn away 1,000 kids.
Holy shit.
The place was absolutely packed. I walked out. It was thunderous. I couldn't believe it. And they were like all there for me. And then I was like, it's free. It's a free show for the students. So I was like, did you guys just come because it's a comedy night or because you know me? Make some noise if you know me. And the place went nuts. And I was like, and then I just said to them, I said, you guys are like 18, 19. I said, I've been doing this for a day. You guys grew up watching me, and they went nuts. And it's what's the impact? It was like, oh, my God, these kids, I am their Tim Allen. I'm their Richard Jenny. It's crazy to see these kids got to see me. And that's all I heard from people yelling out because I spent time just talking to them.
Yeah.
I mean, that was what's really cool about the college gigs for me at this level was like, these are the people that grew up watching you. These were the kids of the people watching you.
Right, yeah.
Right? Because and it's just so cool to have that. So that show, I was like, wow, I was patting myself on the back for that after a minute. I was like, that's
but
really
you also,
cool.
this is conversation we haven't had yet that I was going to have with you at some point, but it's like you kind of brought it up, so I was like, oh, we'll talk about it now. When you go do shows, right, they're there to see you. They're your fans, right? You haven't gone up at the Cellar. You haven't gone up at the Stand. And you haven't done shows where people don't give a shit who you are. People don't know you, right? And that's like the true testament of like, okay, is this really working or is it just like crushing in front of people that love me? And so when you go do a show in front of 8,000 kids that know who you are, whatever, it's still, you're going to get 5 minutes of grace period. And there's kids there that haven't seen your stand-up, that don't know that maybe even you do stand-up, whatever, et cetera, whatever. And then you go up and you sustain for that period of time and you come in saying it was a great show, it was electric, whatever. That again is another testament to the fact of like you cracked the case. You did it. You did one of the most difficult things you could do in the entertainment industry. Anybody can be given lines and have 100 takes to get the line right. Like to go up and sustain an audience's attention for 45 minutes or even longer, especially people that don't know who you are or don't give a shit about you. The hardest thing to do.
For sure.
And you just did it.
Aww.
That is the difference for between making the next jump to the next level. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, thanks, Steve.
Yeah. And I know I know.
Why do you look angry at me?
No, because there's a part of me that's like, you did this all within a year.
Yeah.
That is like, it's not like anger or disappointment. It's just like, there's almost like a confusion.
Like, well, the question that I come back to is why? Why?
How did you naturally just do it?
Fat Italian from Staten Island? How did he do? I mean, it's crazy.
Well, there's a ton of hard work that goes into it,
sure.
And I don't think people see that the preparation you do, going over the notes, reviewing things, watching, constantly asking questions, whatever. There is a ton of prep work that goes in along with it, and it all pays off for you. So I don't want to make this about just your stand-up, whatever, because he brought it up, whatever. But I was waiting for that transition point because for so long you've been headlining in clubs and people are going batshit crazy for you. I was like, I know there might be a little bit of growth period, but then it's like, no, there wasn't again. There wasn't again.
That's anger. That's not confusion.
That's anger. Yeah. Piece of shit. Anyways, I love you.
I love you, buddy.
Yeah. All right, we did it.
And we answered one question.
We answered one question on the Two Cool Moms. Two Cool Moms, one question.
That's it.
Two
guys, one question. That's all we had this time. So much love to you guys. Thank you so much. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube. Tell your friends about the podcast. We love you all. And Stevie, you're a cool mommy.
You're the best, buddy. I love you. Pal.
These two cool mommies love you, so show us some love.
Please rate us, review us, follow us on all social media, and subscribe to our YouTube.